Okay, so this is a summary as to what we've done up to this point. First is why we're here, the purpose of our life. And we're here in this world to know God, love God, serve God, and by means of that to get to heaven. Second lesson, we try to understand, at least to a limited degree, the greatest mystery in our Catholic faith, which is the Blessed Trinity. That means we believe in one God, but they are three separate persons. And they are the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now the Trinity is not simply up in heaven, the Trinity is within you if you're baptized. Through baptism, you become a temple of the Blessed Trinity. Then we talked about the life of Christ. We started with the early years of his life. It's called the hidden life or his private life, in which he was born in the stable of Bethlehem. He had to flee to Egypt because a wicked king wanted to destroy his life. His name was Herod. We know the name of his parents, Mary, as well as his earthly father would be Saint Joseph. He worked as a carpenter, and that was basically 30 years of his life. So most of his life he spent in a hidden way in the carpenter shop of Nazareth, working and being with his mother and his father. Then we talked about the public life. Public life lasted 3 years. In public life, he exercised three activities, which were a lot of preaching. He was the greatest preacher that ever lived. Then also, he did miracles. We spoke about the two types of miracles. Miracles over nature, like walking on water, calming the storm, turning water into wine, the multiplication of loaves and the fish. Then the most abundant number of his miracles were done on human bodies that were sick. He gave sight to the blind, the deaf. He gave them the ability to hear. Paralytics, they were able to walk. We talked a little bit about the lepers who had that skin disease, that Jesus would touch a leper instead of getting leprosy. He actually healed the leprosy. And of course, the greatest miracles is when he actually raised someone from the dead. And that happened three times in the gospel. 12-year-old girl, then a widow who lost her husband, then her son, and then Lazarus, who was dead for 4 days. And he went to the tomb, they rolled the stone back, and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And the guy that was dead for 4 days came out of the tomb. Then we spoke also about exorcisms. We talked a little bit about that. We talked a little bit about the demonic. I think last week I talked to you about the different ways in which the devil can attack us. And that would be through what? Temptations. You get a flash that goes across your mind, an ugly thought. Or it could be an oppression. You feel kind of depressed, kind of loaded down during the day. Sometimes that's the work of the devil. An obsession. You've got a fixed idea you can't seem to get out of your mind. Then you got infestation, the whole idea of the haunted house. It's true. You're moving to a house where someone committed suicide, or they practice black magic, or brujeria, they say in Spanish. You know, they could have the devil's presence in your house. That's why invite the priest to come, to bless the house. That's powerful. We also mentioned the fact of vexation. Maybe you saw the movie of Padre Pio, where the devil can actually beat you up physically, sometimes. Lastly, we spoke about a diabolical possession. I mean, it happens. And how does the devil get inside someone? You know, playing the Ouija board, careful. Yep. Going to the psychic readers, be careful. Yeah, don't open up your heart to the diabolic. That you don't want to do. And we mentioned in the Bible that man, Jesus, crosses over to the Decapolis, and there's this man who's possessed by the devil. And he's so strong that they chain him down, and he breaks the chains, and he's gashing himself with stones. He's naked, and our Lord arrives, and he says, "Send us into the pigs." So he says, "Go," and the many devils that were in him, there were a lot of devils, they rushed into the pigs that were grazing on the hillside, and the pigs rushed over the hillside into the water, and they all drowned, and the man was completely healed. So we learned that about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, we had Mass, and you went to Mass, and it was the feast day. It was actually Halloween, but it was also the feast day of All Souls, the vigil of All Saints. Yeah, All Saints. And last week, how's your memory? Some of you have photographic memories, so I hope you do. Last week, we talked about Christ, and we gave different names. I could say that you are a son, brother, grandson, Christian, Catholic, teenager. Okay? All those different attributes I could say probably to you also. But each one is different, but it's the same person. That's your genetic chromosomatic, your spiritual composition, we might say. Okay? So Jesus also has different names. What were some of the names? Savior. Master, Teacher, Good Shepherd, Messiah, Emmanuel, Alpha and Omega, Bread of Life. And we try to emphasize your best friend. Amen? So those were titles we gave to Jesus, the purpose of which is to help these guys to establish a deeper friendship with Christ. Right, Paul? Well, hopefully Jesus is going to be your best friend in time for all eternity. And I said, try to spend at least a couple minutes talking with him. If I wanted to talk with you, I called you on your phone. Oh, you're talking with a friend. Call 15 minutes later, still talking with your friend. Call you 45 minutes later, still talking with your friend. But there is a phone number that's never busy. Listen to it. It's G-E-S-U-S. Amen, huh? Every time you dial J-E-S-U-S, hey, my friend, I've been waiting to talk with you. Why did you wait so long to talk with me? There's another number that's never busy. M-A-R-Y. M-A-R-Y, Mary. Never busy. There's another one, A-N-G-E-L. Your guardian angel. So whenever you want to talk with Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, your patron saint, the angel, they're never too busy. Sometimes we're too busy for them, but they're never too busy for us. The ironic thing is they're much more important than we are. They're already in heaven, no? But we have our engagements. We have our busy schedules that sometimes we don't have enough time for God, no? Shouldn't be that way, though, should it? If we really care about someone, we should spend some time with that person. What do you think? Really care about someone, we want to spend some time, quality time, with a good friend. So that's the purpose of this year, Paul. We want to establish a deep relationship between ourselves and Christ. And today, we're going to be moving off a little bit from talking about Christ. We're going to be talking about another person. That person also is God. And we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, Paul, but I love the Holy Spirit. Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, I pray the Holy Spirit. You're with me. Before any talk, you always pray the Holy Spirit. He'll give us a lot of light, right? So we learn about the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I'm going to give you a gift at the end of class. I'm a writer. I write books and I write prayers. I'm going to give them, I think, one of the most beautiful prayers I wrote maybe about 10 years ago. And it's a prayer to the Holy Spirit with the seven gifts. So at the end, we can maybe pass out the prayer that at the end, okay? It's kind of like a good summary of the class. It's the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit I was able to give out upon the death of my father as a gift to pray. Pray the Holy Spirit, even pray for the dead. Okay. Kind of a long-winded intro, but I think it's a good idea to summarize what we've learned before we go into, I see it as building blocks. We're building a 25-story skyscraper. Okay? We start from the foundation while we're here, and then different levels of who Jesus is, you know? What's interesting on Paul is this. The apostles did not really know who Jesus was until Pentecost. And that's when the Holy Spirit came upon them. Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? They're walking with the Lord. They didn't seem to understand him. Some thought that he was going to be a political figure to liberate them from the Romans. It was only when the Holy Spirit came down upon them did they really understand who Jesus was, and they're willing to die for him. So that's what we're going to learn today. Okay, so you have a best friend always, and that is the Holy Spirit. He's your best friend. Oh, even the best of our friends in life sometimes fail us. Being perfectly honest, we at times fail them too, right? Yes, Father. St. Thomas Aquinas says that a true friend wills the good of another. Great definition. The greatest good possible is to unite us with God in time and for all eternity. Jesus and friendship. Jesus called the apostles his friends at the Last Supper. Before Jesus went to heaven, in his ascension, he promised not to leave us alone as orphans, but to send us another. Who is this person that Jesus wanted to help, send us to help us and to strengthen us and to counsel and console us? This person is the topic of this class, and this person is God himself, and this person is, goes away, the Holy Spirit. Okay, question to respond to. Who then is the Holy Spirit? Years ago, it was getting very close to confirmation. Maybe I told the story that the bishop will sometimes ask questions and ask the confirmation students, you better respond well because the bishop's going to ask who the teacher is, and if you don't respond, he's going to look at me as a bad teacher. And I didn't want that to happen. I said, so who's the Holy Spirit? Silence. Who's the Holy Spirit? Silence. Who's the Holy Spirit? Silence. Who's the Holy Spirit? And one boy in the back of class said, the bird. The bird. Or in New York they say, the boyd. The bird. Well, wasn't totally wrong. Wasn't totally right either. Because the bird he was talking about, he's talking about the dove. And the dove is one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit. Remember we talked about the baptism of Jesus. Remember the voice of the Father could be heard, but also the presence of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove. Remember that? Descended upon Jesus. So he wasn't really totally wrong. But the Holy Spirit is not simply a bird. Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. So the Holy Spirit is, write it in there or underline, he's God. Number two. In God, who is he? The Holy Spirit is God, and he is the first, the second, third, or the fourth person of the Blessed Trinity? First, second, third, or fourth? Third. Yeah, there's no fourth, is there? No. He is the third. You got it. He's the third person. Who's the second? Who's the first?
Father.
Good. Okay, so the first is the Father, the second is the Son, the third is the Holy Spirit. Okay, who's greater? Who's greater, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit? Which of them is greater? Do you know? You're not sure. What do you think? Right. You got it. So, who is greater? It is none of the three persons you consider the greatest. They're all equal, but distinct or different. So that's true. They're equal, but they're different. So let's move on to the next question. How was the Holy Spirit related to the Father and the Son? It's like this. Here you have it. The Father loves the Son. So the Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Father. Okay? Father loves the Son loves the Father. Okay, now? The mutual love between the Father and the Son, know who that is? That's the Holy Spirit. So write that in there. Write that in there. It is the Father and the Son, and the Father loves the Son loves the Father, and the mutual love between, write that in there, the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. Father loves the Son loves the Father, the mutual love between the Father and the Son is the Holy Spirit. How are we related to the Holy Spirit? In the very time of our... So as soon as we're... Our birth? The very time of our baptism, we become temples of the Blessed Trinity. We became sons of God, brothers to Jesus, and... friends of the Holy Spirit. Friends of the Holy Spirit. So when you're baptized, the priest said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. In that moment, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Trinity came within you. Six, can we lose the Holy Spirit? Yes. Yeah. We can't lose the Holy Spirit. When we commit what is called a... What's that sin? You know? Mortal sin. When you commit a mortal sin, then we lose the presence of the Holy Spirit in our soul, as well as the Father and the Son. Let's talk a little bit about that idea of the mortal sin. Do you remember the three different conditions to commit a mortal sin? Do you remember? Okay, that's an example. Okay, there are three conditions. First of all, it has to be something serious, called grave matter. Second is full knowledge, you know it. And the third was, what did you say? Okay, that's an example, okay. Now, the third would be full consent of the will. So it's something serious. You know it, and you do it anyway. The example would be, Sunday comes along, and you get up late, and you go with your parents to Denny's, you have a nice big, you know, grand slam, and you go off to the park, and you're playing some sports. And one of your friends says, you know, there's a really good movie on. And it's on at, you know, at 6 o'clock. Let's check it out, Edward Cinema. And you go there, and by the time the movie's over, it's already 8 o'clock, and the last Mass we hear is 7. And always in the back of your mind, you knew that you had to go to Mass. You committed a mortal sin. And because of that, you lose God's grace. So I'd like to teach them right now, Paul, is something very important that most people, most Catholics don't know. It's called how to return to the state of grace as quick as possible. And it's this. So you committed a mortal sin. Obviously, you have to go to confession, right? You got to go to confession. Well, what happens if you can't find a priest? What you have to do is you have to try, beg for the grace to make what's called a perfect act of contrition. You know what that is? Perfect act of contrition would be this. Okay, you mismatch you commit a mortal sin. There you are in your room at 9 o'clock at night, and your conscience is really, really bugging the heck out of you. Because you know that you did wrong. Your conscience is really bothering you. And you look up at the wall, and you see two things. You see the cross. You see divine mercy, those two. And you look at the cross, and you recognize that because of your sin, Jesus was crucified. And that hurts. That really hurts. And because of my sin, I'm responsible for Jesus to be being nailed on the cross. But below, you got this. Ah! Paul and Father Broome, they're talking about God's mercy, that even though we commit sins, God is always ready and willing to forgive us if we just didn't tell God we're sorry. So you're looking up at the cross and divine mercy, and from your heart, this prayer surfaces. Lord, I'm really sorry for having missed Mass on Sunday. I'm really sorry. And I'm sorry because I could go to hell. I could. If I die in mortal sin, I could go to hell. I'm sorry about that. I don't want to go to hell. But even more so, I'm sorry because I hurt you. You're my best friend. And I'm never going to do that again. And tears well up in your eyes. And a couple of tears come up and they start to trickle down your cheeks. And you tell God, I'm sorry. I'm never going to do that again. You're already restored to grace. That's huge, isn't it? That could be the salvation of some of these kids later on, if they can remember that. Because in this parish, you got a lot of priests. Other parishes, don't kid yourself. You guys live in L.A.? You move to the south, or you live, move to New Hampshire, where my mom lives. Yeah, you don't find priests. A lot of them are old and sickly. You know, some parishes, they extend 50 miles, if not more. So it's always a good idea, before you go to bed, examine your conscience and try to make a perfect act of contrition every night. If that night you don't wake up, you don't want to wake up in hell. Yeah. You want to get to heaven, right? So I'd like to just go through that because that's key for our salvation. Commit a mortal sin? Okay, God is always willing to forgive. Look up at the cross. Ah, sorry, Lord. I hurt you. I'm really sorry. Forgive me. And you look at divine mercy, Jesus has his arms open, he's ready to forgive you. As soon as you say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it again, I know that I hurt you. As soon as that movement of your heart and you accept that movement of your heart, you are restored to the state of grace. Then you got to go to confession as soon as possible, though, okay? So there's two movements, the movement of the heart. The movement of the heart making is called a perfect act of contrition. The movement of the heart. And then it has to be finalized by making a sacrament of confession. I hope they can remember that. It might be in 60 years, maybe you committed a bad sin, you're dying. I remember what Father Broome said in 2018 there in St. Peter Chanel. Lord, I can't get to a priest, but I'm really sorry. I love you. I really am sorry for all my sins. Have mercy on me. Jesus forgives you. Might have to go to purgatory. But purgatory, that's temporary. Purgatory isn't forever. It's a temporary stay. But heaven and hell, that's forever. That's eternal. I hope they understood it. I explained it twice, okay? Very important, though. And then try to avoid mortal sin in the future. Let's move on to number 7. Can we restore his friendship? Of course. And as soon as we want. By making a perfect act of contrition, the friendship of the Holy Spirit is restored. However, I should try to go to where? Go to confession, okay? As soon as possible. Paul, the other day I had an analogy so I can understand how important it is to try to stay in the state of grace. What happened if you had in your house a diamond, huge diamond, that was worth $1 billion? Would you just leave it on the table at the entrance of your house and just leave it there? Would you? Why not? Someone could steal it, right? Would you try to protect it? Maybe find a nice bank? Maybe get a couple of guards to watch over it? And $1 billion, I mean, you could retire, wouldn't even have to finish school, no? You have $1 billion, that's a lot of money, isn't it? And this is the parallel, Paul. We have the diamond of sanctifying grace, the Trinity within us. Shouldn't we try to protect it? Shouldn't we try to use all the means possible to protect the devil from robbing that from us? But for the diamond, we do all we could. But for the precious grace of God's friendship within us, we're pretty sloppy.
Careless.
Careless is maybe the best. Careless, sloppy, kind of flippant, no? Lazy. Well, we should try to protect the enemy from stealing that precious diamond that's in the depths of our soul. Amen? Thought that was a pretty good analogy. Got that? Okay, now, we're going to go through various names now for the Holy Spirit. Okay, we gave names for Jesus, right? The Christological title. Now we're going to give names for the Holy Spirit to get to know Him better. Okay? This it took from the sequence that we pray on Pentecost, which is a very beautiful prayer. How about some other names for the Holy Spirit? Good question. We will give a few, and you can find others in the Litany of the Holy Spirit, as well as the prayer called the sequence that we pray on Pentecost Sunday. Here they are. Sanctifier. Do you know what sanctifier means? He who makes us holy. Consoler. Josue, you know what that means? He who comforts us when we're sad. Counselor, do you know what that is? Gives us good advice. Finger of God. The finger of God is like a paintbrush. He wants to paint the image of Jesus Christ in your soul. Paraclete. That's from the Greek. He intercedes for us like a lawyer. Gift of gifts. What the heck is that? CCC. It's not ICU, but CCC. What does that mean, CCC? Do you know? Can I tell you? Catechism of the Catholic Church. Got that? Catechism of the Catholic Church. So it's an abbreviation for the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Sweet guest of the soul. I like that one. Because you have to write that in that. Write in gift of gifts and then write in sweet guest of the soul. Sweet guest of the soul. Usually when we have guests, we treat them pretty well, don't we? If we have manners, right? In other words, we're mal educados in Spanish, right? We should try to treat our guests well. We should try to treat that guest even better. Because that guest is God. Yep. He's also the love of God. He's the third person of the Trinity. And the last one, write it in there. The last line, it would be, he's the interior master. He's the interior master. Okay, right next to interior master in parentheses, I want you to write this. Know what that refers to? Romans, St. Paul wrote the letter Romans chapter 8. And this is what he says. We don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so we can say, Abba, Father. So the Holy Spirit is the one, He teaches us how to pray. You want to learn how to pray? Ask the Holy Spirit. He'll help you. So ask the Holy Spirit, teach me how to pray. He'll help you. You believe it? It's true. Okay, number nine. Number nine. Happened to be a Beatles song, right? Can you give some symbols to help understand the Holy Spirit better? Great. A symbol is a mere comparison to shed further light on the person and presence of the Holy Spirit. Here are some of the most common found in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. So I'm going to give you five symbols. I'm going to give you five symbols for the Holy Spirit. So the first would be dove. The dove that descended upon Jesus in his baptism, that's a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Another one would be, on the day of Pentecost, he came in the form of fire. Fire. Next one would be, Jesus says the Spirit blows where he wills, and it would be wind. Wind is a symbol of the Holy Spirit because you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes. It's unpredictable. Then the next would be that of cloud. Cloud. And last but not least, another symbol of the Holy Spirit would be gentle breeze. A gentle breeze. All those are symbols of the Holy Spirit. All right, now we're going to name the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. The seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now these seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, they come to you on the day of your baptism. A little baby, these gifts come into your soul. So, do you know the seven gifts? Well, we're going to learn them, okay? Number one is the gift. This is the greatest of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's the gift of wisdom. The gift of wisdom. Wisdom is that it's relishing the things of God. Wisdom. A wise person, he loves the spiritual life. He really likes to pray. He likes to go to Mass. He likes retreats. And he's interested in getting to heaven. That's a wise person. Wisdom. Next would be knowledge. Knowledge, you know, you look out there and you see the sun. The brightness of the sun makes you think about Jesus as the Son of God. Understanding. Understand, you read the Bible, you read the Bible and you start to understand what you're reading. That comes from the Holy Spirit. You read a passage, I read that two or three times, and it didn't mean anything. Then you pray the Holy Spirit, read it, wow, I've read that three or four times, it didn't mean anything. Now I understand what it means, how I can apply it to my life. Understanding. Then counsel would be the next. Counsel. C-O-N-C-E-L. Counsel helps you to make good decisions. I tell your parents, before you go to college, talk to one of the priests who will try to help out your parents to help you make the right decision. So we can help your parents. We can give them counsel. Most of the priests we've gone to college many years ago, but we know the struggles that might be, the temptations that might be there. And that's the gift of counsel. Counsel, the art of decision making. Next would be fortitude. fortitude. It's kind of a difficult word to spell, but I'll spell it for you, free of charge. Fortitude. You speak Spanish, you call it fortaleza. Fortaleza. And that means you're strong in your faith. You're strong in your faith. School, someone says, what religion are you? If I say Catholic, then they criticize me. I don't know. I'll ask Father Broom. That's not fortitude. That's being a coward. No, you have to stand up for the truth, even though they might criticize you. You know what? Notice outside the door, there's a statue of a Mexican saint who died when he was about 15. Any of you see For the Greater Glory, that movie? Do you like it? What was, you know the name of the boy? It's from Michoacan. Any parents come from Michoacan? Jose Luis Sanchez del Rio. He was actually killed during the time of the Cristeros. You guys ought to see the movie. It's For the Greater Glory. It came out maybe about 7 or 8 years ago. You can get it on DVD. But he had fortitude because he died rather than... They told him to deny Christ the King. And he said, Viva Cristo Rey! Que niega la Virgen de Guadalupe! Que viva la Virgen de Guadalupe! And they took out machetes. They started to knife him with machetes. And then they took him out of the cemetery and said, deny Christ the King? No. And they shot him in the head, and the blood was coming out. And he took his finger, and he made a sign of the cross with his own blood, and he died. Wow, that's a strong kid. 15 years old. That's called fortitude, huh? Where did he get that? Where did he get that? He got it from the Holy Spirit of God. Yeah. Holy Spirit makes us strong, not cowards. Strong. Even willing to die for our faith. Where is he now? He's in heaven, right? For all eternity. And now more than ever, as teenagers, you got to be really strong to defend your faith. It's not easy, but God is strong. We're weak, but God is strong. Amen? Next. The next would be piety. Spell it this way, piety. Now, what that means is we recognize that God is a loving Father. If He's a loving Father, then we should love all other people because we're all brothers and sisters. So we say, Our Father who art in heaven, God is our Father, all of us are brothers and sisters. A universal brotherhood that Martin Luther King used to preach. Okay? Next. The last would be fear of the Lord. You know that in there, fear of the Lord would be the last of the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. You notice, you only got six of them. So I'll go through them and make sure you got all of them. Some of you only have six. So it's wisdom, knowledge, counsel, fortitude, piety, and fear of the Lord. Got them all? So wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, fortitude, piety, fear of the Lord. You didn't get understanding. Those are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's move on to number 11, and that is, can you name several of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Now, if you're open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then you experience the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's an interior sweetness in your soul. Okay. Yes, okay, so the first would be that of, written in there, peace. Peace, then joy, chastity, meekness, and two more. Self-control. Patience. Long-suffering. So when we are open to the presence and gifts of the Holy Spirit, then we experience this wonderful sweetness in our souls. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. They are for our taking. What is a special day or solemnity which we honor the Holy Spirit? Okay, this is what happened. Jesus rose from the dead on Easter. He appeared to the apostles 40 days. 40 days after he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven. Then he told the apostles to go to a special room for 9 days and nine nights. So they were there for 9 days and nine nights, and they prayed, they fasted, they were in silence, and they were with the Blessed Mother. So after those 9 days, which was the first novena, something happened. There was a strong wind that they experienced, and something like an earthquake. And then as they prayed, these tongues of fire, they descended upon the apostles over their heads. Then they got up and they were able to speak different languages. So they were able to go out to the whole world to preach the good news. And every one of the apostles died as a martyr, except St. John the Evangelist. When I say martyr, it means that they really manifested the gift of the Holy Spirit called fortitude. They suffered and died for Christ. How did St. Peter die? He was crucified upside down. How did St. James die? They chopped his head off. How did St. Andrew die? They roped him on the cross in the form of an X, and he hung on the cross 3 to 4 days, preaching his last homily. How did St. Bartholomew die? You ever see your mother peeling a potato or peeling onions? They peeled them alive. Yeah. Talk about strength, huh? Being peeled alive like a potato, no? But he didn't die, then they actually chopped his head off. Where did these guys get so much strength? You know, before Pentecost, they ran away from the cross. That strength came from the Holy Spirit, which descended upon them, and that day was Pentecost Sunday. So, what is the special day, solemnity in which we honor the Holy Spirit? The response is, write it down, Pentecost Sunday. Know how to spell it? Any good spellers here? Pentecost Sunday. And the priest comes out, that's 50 days after Easter, the priest comes out dressed in red. And the red is not because of the shedding of blood, the red is the color of fire. Okay, what happened on that first Pentecost? After the apostles prayed and fasted with the Blessed Virgin Mary for how long? 9 days. 9 days. A powerful novena, to say the least. Then the Holy Spirit manifested his presence through a powerful wind and tongues of fire that settled over their heads. Was there a change in the apostles? Yes, most definitely. They were able to, let's see, were they able to speak different languages? Yes or no? Put a cross there. Were they courageous or were they cowards? Hello? They were courageous. Did they begin to preach and heal with trust and strength? Yes. You know, St. Peter, he denied our Lord 3 times. Remember that? Peter gets up and he preaches and converts 3,000 souls in one homily. Incredible, isn't it? A few days before, I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. I don't know. Cock-a-doodle-doo. The day before, the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And there Peter, he was a coward. But when the Holy Spirit came down upon him, he gets up and he preaches, and he convinced 3,000 souls, and another one 5,000 souls, 8,000 converts and two homilies. Not bad, huh? How that happened? Through the descent of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. They were persecuted and even martyred for Jesus, all the apostles except St. John and the beloved disciple, yes or no? Write a mark there too. Where can we find the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Remember a couple of weeks ago we spoke about how can we find the life of Jesus? In the Bible, but what part of the Bible? The New Testament. What part of the New Testament? The four Gospels. What? Four Gospels. What are they? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, what follows Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is where we can find all these wonderful acts of the apostles after the descent of the Holy Spirit, and that would be the book of the Acts of the Apostles. Do you want that in? The Acts of the Apostles. Known by many as the Gospel of the Holy Spirit. I think one or two of you went to see the movie of St. Paul, right? So we saw the death of St. Paul. We can see that in the Acts of the Apostles. With Jim Caviezel. It was Luke, right? So Mary and the Holy Spirit. How is Mary related to the Holy Spirit? In the mystery of the Trinity, Mary is the... No, she's the daughter of God the Father. She's the... mother of God the Son. And Mary is the... the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. Rather than the mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit. St. Louis de Montfort says, those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into their souls. Do you ever throw a frisbee? Yeah. You ever throw a frisbee? I'm pretty good at it. It's like those who love Mary, the Holy Spirit flings himself into the soul like throwing a frisbee, really fast frisbee. Huh? Okay, in conclusion, in life we all need to have friends to be with us, to talk to listen, and to comfort us in times of loneliness. The Holy Spirit that lives in the soul in grace is always ready and willing to listen to us, to encourage us, and to support us on our highway to heaven. Amen. So we can close by praying the prayer that I wrote for the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. Waiting, we'll say the Hail Mary, and then we'll say this beautiful prayer for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Last Mary, to help us to be really open to the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Okay. Guess who helped me to write this prayer? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit helped me to write this prayer of the Holy Spirit. So look at page 1 and 2. Make sure you're on page 1. Prayer of the Holy Spirit, together. You have it? Together. Come, Holy Spirit, come fill my heart with your heavenly love. Enlighten my mind so that I may know the truth, live the truth, and be willing to die for the truth. Come, Holy Spirit, come in the dark and lonely moments of my life. Come to console me and comfort me. You who are the sweet guest of the soul, make me aware of your constant living presence, so I recognize that I'm never alone because you're with me as a faithful friend. Come, Holy Spirit, come, you who are the interior master. Teach me how to pray. I do not know how to pray well. I implore you to intercede for me with inevitable groans so I can cry out, Abba, Father. Come, Holy Spirit, come in moments of doubt and confusion. Be my light and counselor. Help me to make decisions, not according to my will, but according to your holy will. Come, Holy Spirit, come in moments of weakness. Give me strength. You are the courage and strength of the martyrs. Obtain for me interior strength to fight against sin, my fallen human nature, and anything that's not pleasing to you. Together. Come, Holy Spirit, and come grant me a filial love for you and a sincere love for my neighbor, especially for those I live with, meet every day, set my heart on fire with love. Come, Holy Spirit, come and sanctify me with your presence. You are the sanctifier. Obtain for me an ardent yearning for holiness of life. Be holy as your Heavenly Father is holy. May I attain holiness of life so as to attain the promise of eternal life. Come, Holy Spirit, come produce in me a reverential fear that motivates me to avoid all that is displeasing to you and to avoid any persons, places, things, or circumstances that could damage my friendship with you. Come, Mary, mystical spouse of the Holy Spirit, temple of the Holy Spirit, you are the most intimate, constant union with the Holy Spirit. Pray for me so that my knowledge and love of the Holy Spirit will grow daily until I am with you forever in heaven, worshiping forever the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you like it? Okay, you can keep it, you can take it home and pray that prayer as often as possible. Okay? Amen.